Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, and it's time for You to Ask the Mayor. Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan is here in the studio with us to answer questions about any city issues of concern to you. The phone numbers to call to speak with Mayor Cruzan are toll-free 877-285-9348. Or a local call in the Bloomington area, 855-0811. If you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu, or you can send an instant message right to my hot little hand right here at screen name WFIU Mayor. That's screen name WFIU Mayor. Again, the email is mayor@indiana.edu. The phone numbers are 877-285-9348 or 855-0811. Mr. Mayor, it's a beautiful day in Bloomington. All the ornamental pears are out like crazy, and they're bothering you, I can see today.
It's other than pollen, I'm great, and you may as well be speaking a language I don't speak when you start talking about the instant messaging and all. I realize you're getting old when you have no idea.
I wasn't going over the head with the ornamental pear stuff, was I?
Well, okay. I was trying to fake it there.
And right, exactly.
I figured I thought that was plastic fruit.
Yeah, right. Well, I was faking pear. It too. It's been an exciting time in Bloomington.
It has.
With people coming in and out. And you're an unabashed Obama supporter, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you were there at the Dave Matthews concert. The biggest applause line of the night was when you said you were the last speaker.
I told the organizers that they did realize that anybody, all the speakers who were going to be introduced, would all be booed if their name wasn't Dave Matthews. And so I figured that was probably the line they wanted to hear. I'm the last speaker.
Well, I wanted to point out that I'm doing the show today because I have declined an invitation to join a conference call with the Obama campaign along with the American Hunters and Shooters Association.
Well,
I can't imagine what they'd be talking about.
I am guessing there'll be other opportunities.
Yeah.
Maybe not that specific, but there'll be other opportunities. No, I just feel that he is he's restored my faith in politicians. I mean, that may sound funny from someone who's been doing politics for so long, but I've just feel that he's got a very genuine approach and an understanding of issues. And without turning this into a campaign thing, yes, that is absolutely accurate that I've started supporting him probably March of last year, and the strength of the endorsement and support just continues to grow.
Well, let's go ahead and go right to the emails, and this is a pretty much a right turn from where we're talking about. It says, "Dear Mayor, happy spring."
Happy spring.
That's right. Okay, that's the high point of this email.
Mm-hmm.
Now it goes to speaking of spring. Yesterday, I was spurred by friendly weather to walk rather than drive due east from my home to College Mall. And let me say, I didn't hear any spring robins or bluebirds. What I did hear was boom, 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 and extremely loud engine exhaust engulfing the environment. It was a nightmare. Mayor, exactly how much are taxpayers shelling out for your safe and civil city office? Didn't that office come up with these new lily-livered, now you can't you boys play nice noise codes? This town is no longer safe, and as a shockingly high rise in crime shows, and is certainly not civil, as anybody with ears can tell you. When you let noise warriors take over your streets and do nothing about it, you need to think hard about the first mission of government, which is to protect the people. I think safe and civil city offices should be abolished for its failures, and all that money used to hire special noise monitors with powers of enforcement. At the same time, take this issue head on and write some noise laws with real teeth. Thank you.
Happy spring.
Well, first of all, what is the Safe and Civil City office and how many people are employed there, in fact?
Safe and Civil City director is Beverly Callender Anderson, who's done a great job on a lot of issues, including noise ordinance violations and education on the noise ordinance. In fact, people are probably seeing the placards on the side of buses that are advertising the Lower the Boom campaign. It's in conjunction. It's an education in conjunction with enforcement. The police department is writing more noise violations. I'd encourage them
to be. And those fines are serious, right?
And they're escalating.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Little 500, there were probably more noise complaints than on quote-unquote average weekend, but we have rewritten the noise ordinance. It's made it more enforceable. You've also got a city of 70,000 people, and it probably swelled to, I don't know, maybe an exaggeration, but 90,000 people with all – that's probably high. It's 80,000 to 90,000 mm-hmm. people with all the visitors for the Little Five weekend. But on a game weekend, you know, that's – we count on huge crowds coming to Bloomington. We want it to be a destination attraction. With that comes some of the downsides. So there's no way that a police department of, you know, approximately 100 officers, not all of whom are on duty 24 hours a day. So when you break that down, you've got a limited number of officers and you've got a lot of territory to cover and you've got a lot of things other than noise happening. So we've relied in part on education. We've relied in part on deterrent in terms of the escalating fines and the fact that we actually are going to enforce what my friend here would definitely, I hope, has already called the police department when he heard this and let us know so that we've got the officers spread out throughout the city. And especially with the description of the car real time, that's something that would certainly help.
The police have to catch a mobile violator in the act.
Yeah,
right?
You can't turn in a license plate and then we go to the house and issue a citation. It's not – and that's, of course, the boom cars, as they've come to be known, are a lot more difficult problem because they're mobile. If you've got a house party going on and someone complains, we have the address, we go, and we can remedy the situation pretty easily. The issue is the mobile sources, and I've heard people say that they felt like it's been a lot better. Other people, obviously, this person is not feeling that way. But even if we were to take the approach, which we won't be taking, of dismantling a program and shifting funding, which is pretty limited to begin with, and put it into enforcers.
Specialized noise monitors.
Yeah, we still wouldn't have the ability to have this problem go away completely. We've taken a more aggressive approach than has been taken. We've got a new noise ordinance, more enforceable, higher fines, escalating fines, and we've had the police department actually issuing tickets for these boom cars, something that that we haven't been doing up till this past year.
And it's $50 for first offense, $100 for second, and then $500 for all subsequent offenses,
For all subsequent offenses, right.
That's not kidding around.
And so it's been taken seriously by the police, the administration, and the city council. We will continue on the Lower the Boom campaign, and especially when the students start to return. Throughout the summer, we've working with the university. The Dean of Students Office is always great to work with. Student government and working with apartment owners and just try to get word out that we're very happy that students are here and others are living here. We just want to make sure that and I should be careful not to make it sound like it's college students only. Certainly it can be anyone of any age that but that all people have to respect the impact that they're having on others with noise.
Sure. Students, mayors, public radio hosts,
anybody,
all of us, yeah.
Anybody who might have that bass up a little loud.
Yeah.
It used to be that the measurement was done by decibels and you had to have the meters, and now it's a little bit more of the
– subjective?
A little bit – I think it's a little bit more I want to be careful not to do it by gender here, but the average person, how they would react to it it's something that we do take seriously. I'm sorry this person had this experience, but Safe and Civil City is not simply doing noise either. I mean, it's working with an awful lot of issues. This is just one of them. It's really the one person in the department, along with interns who do an incredible job, speaking of IU students, serving the community, and the police department working on the issue. But we will depend on citizens calling in and letting us know that that there's a problem in a particular area.
We're speaking to Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Feel free to join the conversation. Toll free 877-285-9348 or a local call in the Bloomington area 855-0811. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. And let's go back to the emails. Here's one that's a little smaller in its scope. It says, now that Little Five is over and the trash and empty beer cans have been picked up, can the city do something about straightening the street signs hit by cars in the Pinestone Addition? in particular Thornton Street, Bluffstone Circle, and the no parking signs along Thornton. It looks like the neighborhood is still suffering from a massive hangover. Would greatly appreciate your help.
Absolutely. That's something that, again, anytime you see something like that, please feel free to call the city. You can look in the phone book and find it. You can go online. You can email in any kind of complaint like that, that you've found something like that. And I have to say, I think our street crew and Department of Public Works is very responsive and gets out right away. So I've got one I'll get from Adam before I leave. But we'll just kind of go through the entire neighborhood and see what we can find. But especially, I know you mentioned Thornton, and we'll get to the other streets before I leave and take a look either today or tomorrow and start to remedy those. Thanks for the tip.
I think we've got a caller on the line. Steve from Bloomington wants to talk about your climate plan. Hi,
hello.
Steve.
Greetings. Happy spring.
Happy spring. And don't crank up the WFIU.
That's right. That bass is powerful.
Right. I'm calling about the mayor's climate protection agreement, mm-hmm. and I reread that several weeks ago, and it struck me that you know, the terms of that agreement is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to 7% below 1990 emissions, mm-hmm. and the target date is 2012. And it just struck me that we have less than 5 years to reverse about 18 years of growth in emissions, and we're trying to go an additional 7% below that. And I know that's going to be difficult to achieve, but I do think we should strive for that. And this year, there are many factors that are converging that offer the opportunity to initiate some big changes. I know your team, Green, is working on this, as well as the Environmental Commission, the Commission on Sustainability, and the recently formed Peak Oil Task Force. And Indiana University last year just released their first ever sustainability report, and I know Bloomington Transit is currently working on a 5 to 10 year transit development program. And of course, the high and rising price of gasoline is creating a demand for lower carbon alternatives. And so all these things coming together, and plus with your landslide reelection last year, I think you're in a good position to propose some bold new initiatives. And I don't know if you have anything planned for Earth Day, but if you have any plans, that might be a good time to announce them. If not, I would like to ask that you ask your staff and also the relevant boards and commissions to work on a comprehensive plan to meet the greenhouse gas reduction goals that that you agreed to by signing the climate protection agreement.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Let's let the mayor respond to that. Ultimately, what can be done at the municipal level regarding the issues that Steve is talking about?
And I think, excuse me, I think Steve's the two words that struck out were strive for. I don't think that it's necessarily realistic to believe that we'll have that kind of change and at the national level. Based purely on action by municipalities, the mayor of Seattle, when he started this movement of mayors signing on to the Mayor's Climate Protection Act, it was in reaction to the fact that the federal government had failed to sign the United States on to a global agreement, and again, mayors and city councils and municipalities won't be able to solve this problem. So it's in part a political tool, in part, though, it's certainly a practical tool. My hope is, and again, regardless of who you're for, I hope that we're pushing all the candidates at the federal level to sign the United States on and to have congressional action on this in terms of, for instance, I know Barron Hill just talked about reducing the emissions that would be allowed in automobiles as they're manufactured in the future. Here at the local level, and Steve kind of answered the question, very thorough, and I appreciated the knowledge base there, in terms of the different commissions that we have working on it and working on our fleet of vehicles being more fuel efficient, alternative fuel vehicles, the and you know, small things. And I think that's where we want people to believe that they are a part of this. Municipal government itself, and I mean literally the city government or even the county government, can't make the difference. I mean, even if we didn't run any electricity all day, we wouldn't be able to achieve the kind of goals that are set out in that. It has to be the role of the governments locally throughout the country to encourage citizenry to participate as well. And I think the main thing to do is let people know their small contribution adds up to major change. And that's why even within City Hall, where you look at after a meeting occurs, the lights have always just stayed on. So we've got timers now that are motion sensitive, and if there's no activity going on in the room, the lights go out. All of that is exactly what we would hope in using more energy efficient appliances, light bulbs, which we've done the promotion, and we've worked with local retailers to get that on the market. It's all the small things that are going to add up. And in part, it's in our purchasing and our city budget, we can do things that we think city government, before it's asking a lot of private individuals, private businesses to be doing this, we have to have our own house in order. And so we're working on that as well. But I think ultimately it's going to have to be a collective effort, and it's still going to have to take place at the state, federal level that the United States signs on to to this.
Well, speaking of the federal level, Jackie in Brazil, Indiana, wants to talk about Obama. Hi, Jackie.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Jackie. You're on the air.
Well, I don't live in Bloomington. I live in Brazil, but I come to Bloomington a lot to see music and have friends there.
Thank you.
And this is the first time I've ever called into this show.
Well, we're delighted to have you.
And I've always admired you as the mayor. I feel like you try to help people's concerns, but you're realistic about it, too.
Thank you.
And what you said about Barack Obama, for a politician to say that, I feel the same way. And I'm probably older than you. I've lived through more presidents. He is the first politician since Bobby Kennedy that I feel like is a real.
Well, Jackie,
he's a real person, and he understands real people.
Well, I agree. I certainly agree. I know this is not the purpose of their show, and so I don't want to steal the airwaves here. I also know there are a lot of other candidate supporters out there who probably feel frustrated and want to call in. My hope is that we're forcing real discussion on issues, and I actually think despite all the little side things that happen and we get distracted by with all the different candidacies, that I found they're talking about real issues. And while people, especially my side of the aisle and the Democrats, are concerned that the primary might become divisive, and it has in some ways, I also think we're talking about issues now that in Indiana that we haven't talked about for four decades, that we're actually having real debate of the issues. And so
I listened to his speech when he was in Terre Haute, and I heard his speech that he did at the Democratic Convention 4 years ago, and I knew then he was going to be somebody special.
I think you're right. I hope you keep coming to Bloomington. I have fond thoughts and memories of Brazil, Indiana, which is the home of East and West Cruzan Street, believe it or not. That's where my ancestors.
Oh, yes, I know Cruzan Street.
My ancestors are from Brazil,
Nicely
Indiana.
Done, sir.
There you go.
Thank you so much for the call, Jackie. And, of course, Clinton supporters would like to phone in and get in their 2 cents, we could certainly make equal time for that at this time. Let's come back down to earth a little bit and talk about here's an email. It says, is there any way for the city and the newspaper to inform citizens one day in advance of an event that closes a large part of the city to traffic? If you have an early morning medical appointment, you may not read the newspaper before heading out, as happened a few Saturdays ago. Traffic was blocked from the intersection of High and Hillside to North and West, forcing cars east away from their destination. The best solution would have been to allow turn... we'll go ahead and skip all of this.
Perfect
question
timing.
Because what does RSS stand for, Mayor?
Exactly. You know, I always forget the RSS.
Real Simple Syndication.
Oh.
And how is that relevant?
I know that it has nothing to do with ornamental pear.
Right.
right now, and that's a perfect timing of the question, and sometimes you may see a project like that a construction going on, that there was no way to have given advance warning. And very rarely, but it does happen. And we have sewer lines break, we have water mains break, and or something happened where we have to close the road without much notice. So the HT has been great about getting that up immediately. If you go to the city's website now, bloomington.in.gov, it's a different website than you would have seen just a couple of days ago. And Rick Dietz and our staff, who's the director of ITS, which stands for Information Technology Services, and have just done an incredible job of revamping the site. And one of the things I'm most proud of on that new site, I think it's a lot, the usability is a lot better, and it's also just a better flow of information both directions. But one thing you can do is go to the very front page, and you'll see something called My Bloomington. If you type in your home address, you will find and be patient because it's pulling together a lot of information from a lot of different sources, so it takes a little bit for the page to turn. But once it does, you will find a lot of information about where you live in town, and who your legislators, who your representatives are at the city level, what congressional district you live in, where, and to the point where construction projects are that may impact where city parks are, a lot of different information dealing with city government. But one of the things that specifically is on there already are large construction projects that are going to be disrupting traffic. So I think that answers that almost exactly is what you're looking for.
And what this person can do also is sign up for what's called the RSS feed there, I believe, which would send email notices.
I'm sorry, I forgot that. That's how you like the question. Right?
Exactly, which would send email notices as soon as the city put them out about road closures.
And you can do the RSS kind of topics specific if you're interested in parks news, arts news, just in general headlines that the city government is working on, but also, as Adam said, on construction projects, and you'll get bulletins on those very issues.
Here's another email about traffic, and I think the first part is directed at Indiana University rather than the city, so I think we can just kind of answer that. And it's asking if IU freshmen and sophomores have personal use of automobiles. And in fact, that's true. There are no university restrictions on personal automobile usage among freshmen and sophomores. But then this person goes on to say that they live on the east side and deal with bypass traffic, and obviously it's quite a headache for this person. And they're just curious about when the bypass widening is going to happen. And I guess that's a question also for NDOT more so than you.
Yeah, in part it involves the city right now because, as has been reported, there's a utility line that has to be moved from one side of the bypass to the other. And we're exploring all the options there. But it's a very, $10 million, very expensive project. And that's impacting the timing. I don't really understand why that all hasn't been determined years ago, but here we are. I recall running into Tommy Allison in 1987, walking into the State House along with a former vice president of IU to meet with John Mutz, who was then lieutenant governor of the state, to talk about the widening of the bypass. This has been literally decades in waiting, and we had hoped that they would be letting bids this year. It may not be until next year, but they are to the point now where they've got the property acquired. I think all the details have been worked out with the university and the city in terms of pedestrian ways and both on the side as well as crossing the bypass. It'll be a significant project. I mean, there'll be a lot more pavement there than there is now, and it's a very large project, very expensive project. And I would look at best this year, and probably not till next year, that we would see bids let, and then this is a years in the making project. I think we're an awful lot closer than we've been in a long time, but nowhere near start or completion.
Has the pedestrian crossing been finalized in the design process? Is it going to be a tunnel?
Well, it will, and there'll be also some at level crossing that's still being designed. The university objected to an overpass, and if you think out off of Kinzer, north of Kinzer, or what is that, west of Kinzer Pike, on the bypass right now, and you think of that big metal structure with the cage on it that generally has some kind of sign posted on it, wishing someone a happy birthday. That is what was, I think, a nightmare scenario for the university, that especially with all their plans on the bypass, that would be pretty unattractive. And so we're looking at working with NDOT on other other ways and other locations for those crossings.
All righty. We've got just 5 minutes left of Mayor Cruzan's time here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. You can call us toll-free, 877-285-9348 or 855-0811. Send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. We've got time for another question or two. Here is here's an email question that is it's cleverly phrased. It says, Amazon.com just announced plans to open a distribution center just off I-65 in Boone County near Whitestown. It will employ 1,200 full-time and 1,700 part-time people. What are you doing to facilitate the building of the I-69 extension in southern Indiana to enable Bloomington to have an opportunity to attract these kinds of jobs to replace the thousands we are losing?
I oppose I-69. I also don't see it as the panacea for the economy. And if I'm originally from Northwest Indiana and you look at the 80, 90, 94, 65 all going through there, and they've lost industry after industry. If you look at some of the poorest areas in southern Indiana along the I-64 corridor, those highways have not kept the economy strong in those parts of the state. And so I don't see building highways. It certainly could attract some industry. There's no denying that there may be there's industry, that especially truck heavy industries that may only locate along an interstate. But to invest in an interstate that's going to do the devastation that's going to do, and the cost, which I remember it was not that long ago that it was $800 million. Now we're talking $2 billion, which to me, in government speak, is probably closer to $3 billion to build this leg of the highway at the cost that's going to both kinds of cost in terms of environmental and also what it's doing to private landowners, families who've owned land literally all their lives. There's not any guarantee that that will help, and certainly there's a guarantee that it will harm. So I don't view investing heavily, trying to attract big manufacturing industries with an interstate as a lure just makes no sense. We're seeing the loss of those factories, and all those factories were all here without an interstate. They aren't leaving for lack of an interstate. They're leaving for, and let's again go back to national politics, I suppose, but they're leaving for trade reasons, or GE leaving the community, and I have no doubt that they'll be relocating those jobs to Mexico. An interstate wouldn't have made a difference.
All righty. We have just about 90 seconds left in the program, and Stan is on the phone, who wants to talk about Hillary Clinton. Hi, Stan.
Hi.
Equal time.
All right. You got 1 minute,
note,
sir.
I'm supporting Hillary Clinton because she has had a proven record as a legislator working with people who are coming from different directions than she does. She's proven herself a great policy person, and without detracting at all from Senator Obama's appeal and qualifications, I think that her proven experience is important in electing a national leader now, because, as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local, and you have to convince politicians to work with you, not the general electorate, who then forget about who they voted for. That's all I had to say.
I think it's great to have the equal time, and I hope next time we'll have a McCain supporter call.
Yeah,
no,
nice.
I appreciate what you said very much.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call, Stan. I've got one more email question here that I'm going to try to slip in under the wire. Is the city going to be sponsoring a West Side cleanup this year?
Yes, I believe that I want to say it's this June, but it could be May, and there will be announcements on hand, housing and neighborhood development on the city's website that we will – and if you have a specific question, please 349-3406. We'll get you a direct answer.
And that's where we'll have to leave it. Mayor Cruzan, thanks so much for taking the time,
as
always.
Thank you very much.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan. I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us again next week. Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight will be our guest. Production support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Pascash, thanks for listening.